Welcome to Parker's Barbecue tonight. Amen. And they've not been to Parker's in Wilson. And they are blessed and highly favored of God. Amen. And most importantly, Brother DJ, or also known as Merle Hunt. I call him DJ, but it's Merle Hunt. He is a preacher of the gospel. And he's anointed, and I want us to give him a big Westmoreland welcome. And he can introduce Darren to sing. But let's welcome at this time, Brother DJ Hunt, for our youth service tonight from down east. Let the Lord use you, brother. Amen.
Hallelujah. I know one thing, God is good. And as Pastor Ricky has just spoken, my lands, Parker's Barbecue. It was worth the drive, amen. But before I even begin to minister tonight, I have brought with me a good friend, Brother Darren Mitchum and his wife, Jasmine Mitchum. We have been working in ministry together ever since we pretty much met each other. And it has been a blessing. They're going to come now and sing a few songs before I deliver the Word of God. If you will, just give them a round of applause.
Hey, get this thing on. I got her.
Hello.
Okay. I just want to thank everyone for allowing us to come and sing tonight. We are truly blessed, and we thank God for the opportunity, the doors that He has opened for us. We're grateful.
Okay. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance. Everything's gonna be alright. But Lord, I see another battle, and it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But He said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Won't you take a look behind you and see how far you've come? Oh, and every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water and I calmed the raging seas? I spoke to the wind and it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She said, my bills are overdue, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so soft and low and said, I moved like this before, and I'll do this little thing, child, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? and I hear you when you call. I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'll do it all again.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. And does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. And Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith?
Because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Rejoice, child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Hit you without any warning, the storm of your life had begun, and seeing no hope in the distance, you're frightened and nowhere to run. By now, your vessel you cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now, because
you prayed all night,
'cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. You're up there worried, he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace. Just one word from his voice and it all must cease.
Because you prayed all night, 'cause you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
the Master. Hallelujah. Give them a big hand. I believe they caught the baton in the transfer zone. Glory to God. I think they got a hold of it. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. Woo! Glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Come on, Brother Merrill. Come on, preach the word, brother. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What y'all got him on, green? Amen.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
My God, my God, my God. Well, we're going to preach the word. My God, my God, my God. Tell you what, he's here tonight. Who's here? The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is here tonight. He's the God of Jacob and Isaac. And my God, he is here tonight in the midst of Wilson. Church, I've got a message. The Lord has delivered a burden upon me for this service. If I could entitle the message tonight, it's simply a plea for another touch. The plea for another touch. Child of God, if you will, turn with me in your biblical text unto the Gospel of Mark. My God, my God. When's the last time you've been touched by the Master? The Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 22. A familiar story. The Bible reads unto us, and he cometh to Bethsaidah, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit in his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. And after he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell any to any in the town. Church, if you will now pray with me as we ask God to, he's already here, but just ask him to just anoint me in a double portion at this time. Father God, Lord, we ask you, Lord, now, Lord, that you'll just begin, Lord, to take complete control. Father, Lord, we know that you're here. We've already felt your presence. But Father, Lord, now we need you more than ever. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that I will decrease, but God, you will increase through me. Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you'll hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Lord, I am nothing but a piece of clay. Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, now to have your way. Lord, that you will just touch some young people today. Lord, that they will see you in a different light, oh God. But Lord, we are united tonight, God, asking, Lord, for another touch from heaven. Lord, that you will just pour down your spirit. Lord, Holy Ghost of heaven, have your way. Walk up and down these aisles, minister in only ways that you can, oh God. Lord, we'll not fail to praise you, but we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. My God, if you can't tell, I'm from almost a different country. I come from a little island where 5 miles long and 3/4 mile wide. And they don't let us off of Harker's Island too often. But when we get off the island, we love to preach just a little bit. But regardless, thank you for the invitation. I submit full authority to the pastoral staff of this house. And may God have his way. The plea of another touch. The battle of life does not have to be faced alone. Mercy has heard your plea. God of heaven has heard your plea. But the Master is here tonight. You are but one moment from attaining what you've been seeking. And there is still power in the name of Jesus tonight. There is power. That name Jesus still makes the demons tremble. That name Jesus still puts the devil in his place. You know, down from where we're from, we call the devil old Slewfoot. That's our little nickname for him. Too many times we find ourselves satisfied with what we have, when God is wanting to take us deeper and move us deeper, but yet we get satisfied of where we're at. My God, God has been calling us deeper, but here we stand. Let faith arise in you tonight. Many times we've been expecting the initial touch to sustain us, yet God is wanting to put more upon you. There is a fountain tonight that will not run dry. I can testify to that tonight, because there is a never-ending fountain of blessing that God's waiting to pour out upon you tonight. There's no need to leave this church the same way you came in it. I'm asking the Lord now to begin to release the chains and restrictions that so many come to church bound with. But tonight, will we let God work in how He wants to move? We serve a right now God. You see, I've seen Him heal. I've seen the sight restored to the blind. And I've also seen the healing virtues in my own body be restored. I've seen this one I'm talking about tonight. He's healed my body from addiction. You see, I weren't always a preacher, but yet I was bound heavy in addiction by way of prescription medications. This man you see standing in front of you tonight used to take over 1,800 milligrams of medication every day. You see, this man standing in front of you was diagnosed with a psychological condition, and they had doped me so high and put me in a room and might as well have written me off. But the time that man written me off was the time God began to call. And you see, in the midst of my room, God began to deal with my soul, even though I was running from the call. My God. Tonight, I feel the liberty of the Lord in the house. You see, there is deliverance in the house. There is healing in the house. And whatever you need tonight is in the house. All you've got to do sometimes is just reach out and receive it. But so many times we find ourselves sitting on our hands restricting what God has been trying to do. Somebody, will you look at your neighbor and say, God, touch me again. You see, in our biblical text, we have here a blind man experiencing the power of a second touch. Before we ask you, Lord, for anything, we ought to thank Him for everything. Jesus healed more blindness than any other condition known in the New Testament. We see in our biblical text, they are in Beersheba, which is one of the cities that Jesus cursed, along with Karams and Capernaum, all located on that northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. But Jesus perhaps didn't want to heal in a place that had been cursed. So we see Jesus taking this blind man by the hand and leading him out of town. Sometimes a change of location is a good thing. Sometimes getting away from the distractions and the usual elements is a good thing. How many times do we find ourselves comfortable in a comfort zone? But yet God's been asking us to come out, to step away out of that comfort zone. If you've ever received a touch from the Lord, there is something about His touch. Can you testify that tonight? There is something about the touch of Jesus. There is something about His touch. You see, that touch will meet every need. That touch will make the healing virtue come into the midst of your body. That touch will bring the addiction control and make it surrender. His touch cannot be compared to another. It's not like any other touch I've ever experienced. You see, I've got the date. I've got the time when He touched me. It was May the 6th, 2006 at 10:42 p.m. is when He touched me. Now, I've been touched by a lot of other people and a lot of other things. But the date don't mean nothing. But I still remember the day and the hour when the Master touched me. Because He touched me in power. And He touched me in restoration. And He touched me in strength. And He touched me like He's never touched me before. But I knew who He was touching me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shakatarareya. Glory, hallelujah. I knew who it was touching me. You see, it was a man from another country. I didn't know him, but he knew my name. And about that time when I weren't in a large tabernacle church, but yet I was kneeling beside a couch when he touched me. My God, my God. But you see, when the real touches you, you get hungry for it again. You see, when that real touch occurs, but so many times nowadays we see church folk getting touched, but it's not the real touch. Because I know the real touch sustains you. I know the real touch changes you. The Gospel of Mark is a very active gospel. And you see, Mark, throughout the gospel, his points of view is very distinct in expressing insight than that of Luke and Matthew. We see Matthew's gospel. He declares Jesus and his authority to sit on the right, that has the right to sit on the throne of David. By way of the family and generations listed, Matthew declares that. But we also see in the Gospel of Luke, where he writes for the understanding of the Greeks, and he gives us the line of Jesus and the lineage of David. But he does it from the angle and genealogically of Mary. We see in the Gospel of John simply declares his position as this: in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's how John proclaims it. My God. Mark writes the gospel with excitement. Ain't this something to be excited about tonight? You wait till Sunday in that Super Bowl. Somebody will be excited. But if I can't get excited in the house of the Lord, my God, you might as well chain me in a chamber somewhere. What is there to get excited about? Well, He saved me. And He sanctified me. And He baptized me with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's enough to get excited about and can hold you until you're put in the grave or by rapture. Glory to God. Sometimes God takes His time. And you see this watch that I'm wearing on my hand, that doesn't mean nothing in accordance to God. But you see, that man wants God on this watch. But God has His own watch. Tonight, young people, young folk and old folk alike, from generation to generation, God is waiting for you to move. And God is waiting for you to surrender everything you have so you can excel in what God is wanting you to do. You see, you may have experienced Him before, but tonight God is wanting to touch you just a little bit stronger. Perhaps you have been asking God in your prior time, Lord, I just need a fresh touch. Perhaps you've been asking the Lord, Lord, where are you? Lord, I turned to the north and to the east and to the south and to the west, but where are you? Perhaps I looked to the left and unto the right. Lord, where are you? But God's asking you tonight, are you prepared for another touch? You see, He heard the prayer of Daniel. But in the midst of the Gospel of Mark, we find a blind man. Now, this is not the blind man that was sitting there by the roadside begging. Scriptural texts and theological studies state that this was not the blind man that was spoke about in chapter 9 that was born blind. But yet this blind man was stuck into the mind of Mark for a divine purpose, for a divine reason. We see the author of the Gospel of Mark is John Mark there. And we see where Mark, looking back at his life, had a similar experience where he departed from Paul on the mission field. Mark was not already the first time, but you see, the second time, Mark was ready for the journey. Church, if I can tell you tonight, if you fall, get back up. Church, if you see someone falling, won't you stoop down and help them up? We're a family of believers. If your brother or sister is having trouble, reach down and help them. If you see someone in need, won't you help them? But you see, sometimes, church, we get wounded along the way. This Christian journey is a hard road. It's not going to be a bed of roses. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have trials. You're going to have mountains. You're going to have valleys. It's going to feel like a lonely journey sometimes. Because young folk, the friends that you start out with probably won't be the friends you end up with. You're going to notice that as time progresses and as you grow in Christ, these old friends that you've been hanging around with, they won't want to be part of you anymore. Why? Because it's a change occurring. It's a change occurring. But see, child of God, you've got to have your mind made up. You've got to have your mind made up. So no matter what happens, I'm still going to serve Him. I'm still going to push on. It doesn't matter what goes down or what comes up, but yet I'm going to keep pressing forward. You see, that push, you've got to have that fight in the midst of your soul. Because without the fight, you're going to lose this battle. You've got to know who you're serving every day. Because you don't know when your next breath is your last one. There's not enough fingers and toes upon my body to count how quick death occurs. As Pastor Ricky just mentioned, I'm a paramedic. And I am blessed to be in situations when people are at the worst. But yet I see God work in the midst of things that minds can barely comprehend. When God can put a man in the middle of a car that's just been flipped over 7 times and begin to minister to someone that you know within 4 minutes is going to pass away from this earth. But yet you can get on your knees and you can begin to touch glory. And you can pray and you can feel the God of heaven touch down in the midst of a car. And watch a soul get saved. Someone who didn't know the Lord 2 minutes ago, but has now met the Master just before they pass away. In chapter 2 of Acts, we see the arrival of the Holy Ghost. But in chapter 3, we see the apostles lifting up a man from the gate of the temple. But over in chapter 4, when they get back to the people and to the company that they're used to, watch what happens. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed. Get it now? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. When's the last time you weren't afraid to witness? When's the last time you didn't feel yourself holding your tongue back from wanting to spread the gospel? You've got to tell somebody about Jesus. This thing ain't meant to be kept a secret. Young folk, don't be afraid to speak His name. Don't be afraid of the persecution. Don't be afraid of being made fun of. But instead, know who you're serving and He'll take care of you. God is wanting to consume you and overtake you. God is wanting to take you to deeper levels than you've ever experienced before. I said, Lord, touch me again. Lord, it's been a while. Lord, I'm starting to feel a little weak. Lord, can you touch me again? Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Lord, it's me again. I need your touch. And you know what? He touches you. Touch me again, oh Lord. And you'll know it's Him when He touches you. His touch will begin to mend the scars of life. His touch will sink the anchor just a little bit deeper in the sand. So the next storm that comes your way, you can rely on that anchor to hold you through the storm. He'll heal the wounds of the past and bring life to that you thought was dead. We find the people who brought the blind man was wanting to see this miracle. But Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. How many times do we see the onlooker Christians? Perhaps the Christians that just want to be there to watch things happen. But yet God says, come on over here. Come meet me in your prayer closet. Come meet me privately so we can have communion together. God wants to do something in your life privately so that in the midst of people you can testify what God is doing openly. Sometimes the most powerful experience that you ever happen is simply in privacy. Perhaps when you're kneeling down in your prayer closet and you're seeking God like you've never sought Him before, and perhaps I'm failing my grades, I don't know what I'm going to do during my next lunch break, those bullies are trying to hurt me, they take my lunch money, they beat me, they do everything against me, But God, I need you now. Lord, I've heard the preacher preach many times and he says that you'll help me. But God, where are you? And you know what God will do? He'll reach down where you're at and he'll touch you. Some of the greatest things happen in prayer. Somebody is standing in need during this hour. Lord, I ask you now to begin dealing with this congregation. Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, now to begin to move in ways that only you can, oh God. Lord, there is someone standing in need at this hour. Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to begin to minister to that need. Father, Lord, just work. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, just begin to work. God, Lord, you're working. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. There's a need in the house. There's a need in the house. God is wanting to touch. Somebody's been seeking, but they feel as though nothing has been happening. God has sent me over 100 miles to tell you that He'll still touch. That He's still here. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, have your way. Holy Ghost of heaven, I surrender everything unto you now. Lord, have this service. Lord, you're in control. There is power in the second touch. There's power in the first touch. Sometimes He'll touch you when you least expect it. Child of God, keep waiting on the gift. Child of God, keep waiting for the touch. Child of God, keep waiting. If I can tell you anything tonight, it is to keep waiting. Young people, keep waiting on God. You're not alone in this battle. But instead, keep waiting. It's going to feel like forever. But if you'll keep waiting, He'll soon show up. He'll show up. Samuel came unto David at a young age and anointed him to be king over Israel. He called him as that little shepherd boy from the field. But at that time, David was not ready to be king. He had to run from Saul first, and he had to go through some stuff. But then David was anointed a second time, the second touch. And now David was ready to be king over a tribe. But it wasn't until he was anointed the third time that he was actually ready to rule in capacity in what he had been anointed to do. Upon the first touch, we see our blind man. He saw men like trees. But upon the second touch, he begins to see clearly what is happening. Wait upon the Lord. Allow Him to guide you. Allow Him to touch you. Allow Him to navigate you through life so you get where you're meant to be and not detoured around. Young people tonight, God is wanting to touch your life. He's wanting to physically touch you in ways that only He can. But you've got to be willing to allow God to minister in your life. You see, as a young person, and I know it as myself, we wonder a lot. We think a lot. But we don't seek like we need to seek Him. God is wanting you to step out into deeper waters. Perhaps tonight I'm just speaking to someone that has already received a touch, but yet is feeling weak in faith and just feels like they don't think they can move or take the next step without God intervening. A touch of strength in time of need. A touch of emotional healing. A touch of physical healing. Lord, restore the joy back into the house. Child of God, and you can testify to this. If the old devil can get you joy, he's got you. Oh, but if you can protect the joy, and if you can keep the joy of the Lord within you, and if you can keep that smile on your face, and if the joy of the Lord will sustain you through whatever comes your way. You know how you're going to face those valleys that's on the way? The joy of the Lord is going to strengthen you through it. You know how you're going to face that next final examination? The joy of the Lord is going to be with you through it all. You know how we face this and that? We've got to have the joy of the Lord. But we find that that is the very first thing that old Sleuthfoot tries to take from us. That is the joy of the Lord, because if he can get my happiness, if he can get me in the state that he wants me, but he knows, and like I tell him every day, when I roll out of my bed, well, really, I fall out of my bed. Because I've got a bed and she stands about that high, give or take. I got me about 12 inches of foam. It is a wonder bed. But you know, that devil knows every time I fall out of my bed, I say, devil, it's time to go to battle. And it's time to fight one more day. And you didn't get me yesterday, and you know you ain't going to get me today. That's what you've got to do, church. You've got to serve notice on the enemy. Because if you don't let the enemy know where you're standing, he's going to try to invade every aspect of your life. You don't know how many times in my position as a paramedic, I am bringing back innocent young people from death that has overdosed on prescription medications and on heroin. We have this drug called Naloxone. They call it Narcan. And they call it the Lazarus Project, because these people that we're responding to are dead. They have a very slight pulse, but they're not breathing. They are within minutes of death when I get beside them. And yet what happens when I kneel beside them? I begin to pray. Yes. And God has given me this tool of Narcan. And we take this drug and we're able to put it right up their nose and give them two squirts. And it takes every bit of medication, opiate medication, from their system. And you know what happens in that dead man? When that Narcan hits that blood system, you begin to see that dead man, he'll go, he'll take a deep breath in. Next thing you'll see is you'll start seeing the body begin to twitch. Life is coming back. That's what needs to happen to the church today. We need to have revival. We need to have the dead man revived. Because the church is a sleeping giant. But honey, when she gets awake, watch out. Because you might as well buckle your seatbelt and get ready, because God is getting ready to move in the midst of this generation. My God, my God, my God. Glory, hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Lord, wake us up. God, Lord, wake us up. Wake me up so I know what's going on around me. Lord, open my eyes so I can see you moving. Lord, awaken my spirit so I can feel your touch. God, I'm ready for you to move in my life one more time. Lord, I know I have failed you. But Lord, I've got an advocate. Lord, I'm going to the blood. Because the blood still has power. Still has power to save. Calvary is still powerful. But church, I can stand here behind this beautiful desk all night long and I can tell you this and I can tell you that. But it is until you want more. It's until you get your mind made up. Once you get your physical mind made up that I've got to have Jesus more than I've got to have HBO or I've got to have this PlayStation or I've got to have this whatever else it is nowadays. I believe it's a Wii. I think I've been bowling with a Wii one time. But regardless, we've got to have our minds made up. So I've got to have the Lord beyond anything this world can offer. Help me. There's a new song out, and I heard it just a few days ago, but the lyrics go like this. Help me to want the healer more than the healing. Help me to want the Savior more than the saving. Help me to want the giver more than the giving. We've got to place our focus back upon Jesus Christ. There is no other answer, young people, I can give you tonight. They're going to offer you drugs. They're going to offer you explicit things. But if I can offer you anything tonight before you, I'm going to offer you Jesus. I'm going to offer you Jesus because He is the Savior. I've seen Him work. I've seen Him move. What's the youngest person I've ever brought back from an overdose? 7 years old. What's the oldest? Around 84. But yet our EMS personnel today are pushing this drug almost 5 times a day. But you see, the devil has this world bound. But there is coming a day and there is coming a time when he will have no authority. There's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. But you know tonight, I've got to testify further that we don't get everyone back. So when you have those drugs and you're being offered those drugs, young people, turn away. Because there is a point of no return. And it is part of my job description and part of my work that I have to pronounce young men and young women almost every week or so dead. And then here I am left to go to mom and dad and say, I'm sorry. They were beyond the point of no return. I'm sorry. We have tried every intervention man has, but yet the interventions of man have not been able to resuscitate your child. Will you pray with me? I'm sorry for your loss, but child of God, Before you get to that point, you've got to wake up. Before you spiritually get to that point where I am failing and I feel the notion of backsliding, you've got to wake yourself up. You've got to shake yourself like Samson did. Say, Lord, I've got to get my focus back. I've got to get my joy back. I've got to wake up out of this coma I have been put in. And it is time for me to get back to work for the Lord and do what He has called me to do. Child of God, perhaps young people, you're now getting employed and working. And you've got a responsibility to go to that job. So should the responsibility to the house of the Lord be. Amen. Treat this house with respect. This is God's house. You are the temple. Respect your pastor. Respect your leadership. Young man leading that youth choir, youth group, youth band. Stay encouraged. Because God is not done. Yet He is just beginning. And if you will begin to open up your spiritual ears to what God is doing, allow Him to direct you. And allow Him to speak into your life. And you'll begin to see God move like you've never experienced before. Because there is more coming. I'll now call some musicians to come forward. As I begin to bring this sermon down to a closing point. When you find yourself in processes, you find yourself in routines, take time for God. This man was touched by Jesus one time.
Come on.
But it was the next touch that opened and cleared his view. God's been wanting to touch. But are you ready to receive the touch? Sometimes it takes a throne. Sometimes it takes a thorn to get our attention. God's been calling you for some time. Perhaps you've said, Lord, just not ready yet. Lord, I don't know what others are going to think if I say I'm a Christian. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Especially young people tonight. This is nothing to be ashamed of. God has been seeking after you. But somehow you failed to acknowledge Him while He's been bidding you to come. God has been trying to get your attention, but yet it has fallen upon deaf ears. Sometimes God takes action. 2 Corinthians, and lest I should be exalted above measure, though the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Yes.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. The power of the call of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Child of God, tonight perhaps you're just feeling weak. There's strength in Christ. I don't know what you face this week. I don't know at home what you're facing. But I know someone tonight that can go where you're at, that can minister to you, that can help you, that can touch you. Tonight I know one. I call Him Jesus. I call Him Abba Father.
Glory.
I call Him my Father. If I can offer you anything tonight, it will be Him. Young people, pray. Seek God and never be ashamed of the Savior. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Master. Glory, hallelujah. These altars are now open. If you feel the need to pray tonight, these altars are open. Perhaps as I was preaching tonight and speaking, you simply said, He's talking to me. I need another touch from the Master's hand. Amen. I need a touch from the Master's hand. Will you join us in this altar of prayer? Saints of God, come join us as we begin to pray. These altars are open. God is here. Help us. Help us.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
I said
something
wonderful
happened, and now I know He touched me and He made. He touched me.
Hallelujah.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something really happened. And now